Hey, so good to see you, even though I can't see you. It's another beautiful day in the neighborhood, and I'm so excited that you are here at the Perseverance Podcast, and I got a special guest for you today. And his claim to fame is this: if you're looking, you ain't cooking. And I'm going to take you on a journey with him, and we're going to see how he perseveres in his life, and maybe we'll learn a little bit about cooking as well. You ready to go on this journey with me? Let's do this. Persevering is what can allow you to overcome. But you have to find joy in the pain that you live with. It's not going to be easy. But the reward and the character that you will build in persevering through your challenges will be so rewarding. It will give you so much hope. Are you ready to persevere through your challenges? Let's do this. Today, I got Chris Peltz on the podcast. Welcome to the Perseverance Podcast, Chris.
Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it. I'm excited to be here.
So just to tell everybody who you are the host of the Blind Grilling Experience. And can you tell everybody a little bit about your podcast?
Yeah, the Blind Grilling Experience is a podcast dedicated to tips and tricks and techniques centered around the blind and visually impaired, also talking about accessible technology around food, and really encouraging independence and helping folks who are suffering from vision loss to not be so intimidated by a grill or by the kitchen. But it's not just for the blind or visually impaired, but certainly a lot of the things that we talk about center around that. But we really just want to show folks that, hey, you got to eat, but you can make some great food yourself, and you can do it independently, and we try to help encourage that.
Why I started following you, because I love learning the tricks and tips that you provide as a visually impaired individual and giving us tools how to do things better. And it just kind of makes me excited. I'm like, oh, I could do this now. And now that we're really doing a lot more cooking at home, before we were already eating out, and now we're cooking at home. And so I'm cooking for the family. I'm like, well, I better make sure I'm not poisoning the chicken. Yeah. Or how do I make sure I got the right temp on this? How do I make it tasty?
Yeah, exactly.
So today I want to take you on a journey with your story, Chris. And what I want to do is start off, what was your childhood like? And what led you to learn that you had retinitis pigmentosa?
We moved to a farm in central Missouri when I was 9, and about a year later, when I was 10 years old, I started having some vision issues, and I was actually out coon hunting with my folks, my dad, my brother, and we had turned the hounds loose. It was dark, and I couldn't see anything, even with the lights, and so I stayed back at the truck, and they went chasing the hounds, and when they got back, we got back to the house. It began kind of a journey of eye doctor's appointments and trying to figure out why I was struggling, you know, with night vision, with any peripheral vision. And I was diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa when I was 10. And over the next 6 years, I lost 80% of my vision. That first year was probably one of the hardest for me. And my dad gave me that first year to kind of mope around and feel sorry for myself and really, it was really a matter of questioning, you know, what's going to happen, because we didn't know. We didn't know how fast I would lose sight. We didn't know how far it would go. And there's so many unknowns. And almost a year to the day of my diagnosis, my dad came in my bedroom at 4 o'clock in the morning. He grabs the side of the mattress and tips it up, rolls me onto the floor. And he's standing over me and says, it's time to get up. You need to get out. You know, we've got ice that needs to be broken on the pond so the cows can drink. We got to get hay out. And you got all these things to do on the farm before you go to school. His thing that he started telling me at that time was, you're going to have to work twice as hard when you leave my house. So you might as well start now. And so that period on, I was up in the morning figuring things out before sunrise, not being able to see anything. They had helped me, but it was one of those things where either you hold on and keep up, or if we lose you, you stay put, we'll pick you up on the way back. But they weren't going to wait, right? It was an early lesson that I learned, and it was very helpful. I'm thankful looking back. I mean, it sounds kind of rough maybe, but it was, I think, a very loving thing that my dad and my folks did for me at that time. And it's what I needed. So I went through that period of life through high school, still denying things even as I was losing sight. Never was able to get a driver's license, but I did a lot of things on the farm, rode motorcycles, three-wheelers, four-wheelers. As I was losing sight, I learned every tree on that farm. It was definitely a journey there, you know, and I was surrounded by some really good folks that wanted me to succeed and be successful, but they knew that I was going to have to figure out other ways to get it done. And this is in the 80s. There isn't cell phones. There isn't voiceover. Computers, right? At least not personal. And so it was definitely this learning process. And I started learning Braille, but again, they're trying to give you orientation, mobility, cane techniques. That probably stuck with me more than the Braille, because the Braille I cheated on, right? I mean, I'm like, I can still see some, I can read, even if it's large print. And so I didn't really focus on feeling the Braille. I looked at it, and that came back to bite me later in my journey. But that was kind of the beginning of that process and really getting through high school, a small school. And so my friends were really good. They hounded me a little bit, but my graduating class was like 35. So small town, small school, I think that benefited me some as well.
So as you went through this journey, you are going through high school, you're going through life, going from literally probably 100 degrees when you learned that you had RP to literally under 20 degrees, which is kind of crazy in a short period of time by the time you left high school. Tell me a little bit through this journey. There had been a point in that process when you saw your vision just disappear.
Yeah.
Because for me, I saw that June of 2020, and I was devastated. So tell me a little bit about your experience with that journey.
It was kind of weird going through high school, and even with such a dramatic sight loss, I saw it, but I was so busy because we had so much work to do on the farm. We had so much keeping up with school that I almost didn't have time to give it much thought, right? Because anytime there was an issue, a struggle, or something I was unable to do in a normal or a way that most folks were doing it, it was quickly looked at, examined, and another way was found, right? And so we moved along pretty quickly through that. So I get through high school and I actually moved to Arkansas. A week after I graduate high school, I move out. I moved to Little Rock and go to World Services for the Blind down there and end up getting a job with the Internal Revenue Service. I mean, so things are moving quickly, right, for me. And it wasn't until I moved to St. Louis with the job through the IRS program that it kind of hit me. It's like, you know what? This really isn't working for me. I don't know that this is sustainable for me at my age, right? 18, 19 years old, jumping into a profession, not going to college, and not really having any friends when I first moved to St. Louis. And going through that process was pretty difficult because I couldn't just get out and about like most folks were doing. And so that was a struggle. But probably the biggest thing that hit me and the time that it hit me was 1995, when I didn't have much vision, but I would still ride mountain bikes. I would still ride bicycles in town. And I had an accident where I broke every bone in my right hand, all every finger, all through the wrist. And I realized, okay, I can't ride mountain bikes anymore. I can't do what I really want to do, even though, you know, I'd been fighting it all the time, but that was the reality check. And it was like, something's got to change in my life. Something has to become different because what I'm doing now isn't working. Going out, drinking, going out, partying, this isn't working. This isn't sustainable for me. something has to change. And I started praying. I started really looking for visiting churches and just trying to find something else to make my life better. Here I am, 21 years old, looking for that change. I was searching for sure at that point.
You had to have a traumatic experience, yeah, being visually impaired to get to that point.
Yeah, yeah.
For me, that one traumatic experience was literally me at Bible school and falling over the chair, falling on my knees, and just bawling my eyes out and realizing, how am I going to move forward?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't move forward very well. And for me, I mean, that's how I started the process of taking my life away.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to live with deaf blindness.
Mm-hmm.
But just like God had a plan for me, He had a plan for you, Chris. So tell us a little bit more about this journey, this hunt that you're looking for.
Yeah.
There's something more for my life.
You go through that denial process and being ashamed of something you shouldn't have been ashamed about. You didn't want to use a cane, right? I didn't want to use a cane. That's why I was riding that bike. And even after I decided, all right, I can't ride a bike, I still didn't want to use the cane. But I needed to. It was for my own safety, and it helped folks know I'm not a jerk. I'm not waving at you because I don't like you. You go through that. I think that's, in a sense, a natural reaction a lot of times. And even for folks who are like, okay, I'm going to have to deal with this. I'm going to have to go through this, and I can accept that. There are still things and ways that they want to do it. They want to try and do it their way. And that's how I was at first. I knew something needed to change, but I wanted that change to be under my control and no one else's. Mm-hmm. And even that wasn't going to be sustainable. That wasn't going to work either. And so I actually went into a job interview, and this young lady was there, and she helped me fill out the application. She did the interview with me, and we kind of hit it off. It was interesting. And when I left the job interview, I thought, wow, you know, that I thought the job interview went pretty well. I don't know what she thought, but I thought it was good. And 2 months later, she called me and asked me to come in to work. So I go to work that day. And we go to lunch. She takes me to lunch. And that afternoon, it's in August. It's like 100 degrees. And I'm getting ready to walk a mile and a half, 2 miles back to my house. And she's like, no. Stick around 30 minutes. I get off. I'll give you a ride home. She gave me a ride home. And we went out on a date that night. I asked her out. And I had to quit work. She says she fired me because she couldn't date work. I say I quit. You know, and to this day, now we've been married over 26 years. But going back to that time, she was attending a church, and she kept asking me, you know, hey, come church with me. And I would say no, because religion at that time, while I knew I needed something and I was praying, when I looked at religion, I saw a bunch of hypocrites, people that were claiming to be Christians, claiming to do certain things on Sundays, and then living a life that was worse than the changes I'd already made in my life without going to church or anything. I was like, what's the point? I mean, that's ridiculous. Yeah. Well, one day, Sunday afternoon, she came to me and said, hey, our preacher is preaching a series, and he began this morning, and tonight he's going to talk about hypocrisy in religion. And I'm like, really? That got my attention. So I went that night, and I started listening, and I started studying the Bible. In September of 1996, I was baptized into Christ for the remission of my sins. And at that point in time, I realized, you know what? This whole idea and concept of trying to go through this and get through this on my own isn't going to work. I couldn't save myself. I couldn't change myself. I needed the Lord. And that began a whole other journey for me at that time.
What's cool, though, is that you went on a job interview, but really it was a date interview.
Pretty much turned out that way. That's right. I had quit the IRS. I had gone back to college and was really struggling in school, and had left St. Louis, moved around a little bit, ended up in Springfield, Missouri, and was going to, at the time it was called Southwest Missouri State. Now it's Missouri State University. It was the summer. and things are getting kind of tight. I need to find a job. I need to get some work. There was this some clerical work that needed to be done, and they were hiring. And so I went and interviewed with Michelle, and she hired me for a day, and then then I had to go find another job. So
yeah,
but it worked out. I was extremely blessed. And God says, ask and you will receive, seek, you shall find, knock, and it will be opened unto you. I was doing all of those things, and he kept his promise.
Yeah. I mean, he truly does. I could go on for hours. So now that you're married and you got an awesome wife, and she fell in love with you at first sight, it seems like, and you guys end up having several kids, but you had to go through another grieving process because you're now losing more vision. And I want to take a moment here to explain to everybody. With retinitis pigmentosa, aka RP, when you lose your vision, you don't lose it overnight. It doesn't necessarily work that way. You normally go really fast to the legal blindness stage. That tends to happen for a lot of RP people, not for everybody. But then the journey from 20 degrees to zero, light perception, that's about it, is a process. Because you're literally having to die to the old person you and make a new person of you. And it's like, oh, you got to then redo everything that you just built or done and created. So take me on this journey. I love the part where you talk about how the big green egg came into your life to be able to make all your awesome meals.
Yeah. Well, when we got married, found another job, and that was going okay for a little while. And we moved around a little bit. We moved to Kansas City, and I was still going through that vision loss that, like you talked about. But in the meantime, while I'm working really well, I end up getting a job with the U.S. Department of Agriculture. I'm going to church with some folks, and this young guy who's preaching there is like, hey, I want you to teach for us. I want you to do a class, and I want you to do an invitation one night. And that invitation turned into a sermon, and I went to a small little church where my in-laws were at. I preached this sermon on a Sunday morning in April of 99. When I came out of there, I got in the car, and I told Michelle, my wife, I was like, this is what I want to do. I quit my job. We moved to Louisville, Kentucky, and I started preaching full-time at a local church in Kentucky. And there was a process there because now not only am I trying to read large print, I'm going through this process where I can't read large print anymore. I have to learn Braille again. And then I'm trying to cook. I'm trying to do all these other things. And my brother one day comes over and I'm like, I'm going to cook for you. All right, I'm going to cook some steaks for you. And I got this old metal grill I fired up, and he sees me feeling around on this grill, and I'm just keep burning to my fingertips. You know, I miss the handle. I touch the grill. It's hot. And he does the one thing, right, that you never do at someone's house, and that's, you know, touch another man's grill. But he just couldn't stand me burning myself. Well, 3 weeks later, he shows up at my house again, and he's got a big green egg in the back of his truck that we unload, and he's built this custom table for it, and he's got me feeling around on it, trying to figure out where everything is. And I go in the house to get all the food prep done. I come back out, and he's like, all right, make sure you know where the handle is. Make sure you know where to put the food on the table and stuff before we put it on the grill. And I feel around. I said, all right, let's light the grill. He says, dude, it's already lit. It's sitting at 350 degrees. And my hands have been all over this grill. And I couldn't believe that I'm touching this grill and I'm not burning myself. I mean, it's a hot summer day. It's hot from the sun, but I'm not leaving skin behind. And I realized then, like, this is life-changing. They advertised the grill as the most versatile cooking, do-it-all kind of grill, but it changed my life when it came to grilling for sure and cooking as a whole, because it's not just for grilling and smoking. I've told my wife over and over again, if you can cook it inside, I can cook it outside on the grill. And so far, I've been able to do that, all because of a grill that's ceramic, right, that is so well insulated, that maintains the heat. It'll get hot. You may not want to leave your hand on it, but when you touch it, you're going to know, better take my hand off before it does hurt.
When I heard that story, it really hit home, because it's all about empowering your abilities so that you can enhance them. Mm-hmm. When I got on the pottery wheel in December of 2020, I was really only going there to heal. I was going to go throw on the wheel because I had just lost all the clarity in my vision. And next thing you know, we're putting it on TikTok, and I have over 50,000 followers and over 1.4 million views on three of my videos in less than 10 days. And I'm realizing, just like you realize, when you got on that stage and you preach, I kind of had that same reality. Is if I shared the world with my pain, how challenging it was for me, but now I'm healing. Just like the grill has healed you, the clay healed me. Because God gave us the ability to see Him in His creation, and it doesn't have to be with our eyes. He gave us the ability to experience His amazing power through different skills that we have individually. Because ultimately, He is the master chef, or the master griller, and the master potter. And for me, watching myself tell my story to the world and shape it on the potter's wheel changed my life. Mm-hmm. Because it realized it's okay. Just make some adaptations to the things that I do, and I can still make a beautiful product. Mm-hmm. And this is why I love your story about the big green egg, and I really want to get one myself. But what was really fascinating to me was how your brother saw the challenge, and just like the Harden family was there to help me through my vision loss by offering me to throw at their house, your brother brought big green egg to you to empower you. Yeah.
I've learned through preaching and Bible study, you know, James 1 verse 2 says, "Beloved, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." And that can be a difficult thing, and perhaps one of the most challenging commands that we have. You know, when you fall into various trials, you know, count it all joy. And that hope that I have as a child of God and through His word and His commands and all of His so many blessings that I have helped me when other challenges have arose, right? Because as you pointed out, even through that process from large print, by the time I'm 35, I have no usable vision. And large print to PowerPoint, reversing the color contrast from white background with black letters to black background with white letters, to even that not working. 24 or 32 font is still not going to work. And so having to put the Braille into practice and wondering, can I still do this? And not only can I still do this, should I still do this? And that's where I've just continued to be blessed, and God has been there with me and helping me along as I go through this and allowing me the ability to help others, right? Because the whole point of blind grilling and blind grilling experience is that helping others. And I got the idea after a police officer here in Springfield, Missouri, was actually shot in the head and survived, but he lost one eye and had reduced vision in the other. I was like, what can I do to give back to soldiers and first responders, veterans, those who have suffered vision loss, and others, not just them? And that's when, hey, you know what? Teaching them and showing them that because they've lost their sight doesn't mean they can't go out on the patio or back deck and grill like they used to. They can still do that. We can show them how to do that. And that's what we've been trying to do for the past 7 years now.
One thing I want to get on the record here, crafted with my story, is when you have a relationship with Christ, it empowers you in a different way. For me, when I became legally blind, I could still read my Bible in small font, and then I had to get to bigger font, and then I no longer could see the text on the page. Then I was in a panic. I'm like, I need my relationship with my Jesus. And I didn't have that. And it sent me into a spiral a little bit. And then I realized one day, well, why don't I get an audio Bible? And started working on it, and it wasn't clicking. And then I was like, well, maybe I'll listen to music. I'll try something. I wanted something more. And it wasn't until I got the dramatized audio Bible that it transformed my life. Because now, no matter how much vision I lose, I'll be able to hear the word of God and allow it to impact my life to keep persevering through my challenges. I'm curious, did you have to go through a similar journey as well?
Yeah, faith comes by hearing the word of God, Romans 10, verse 17. That's where our faith comes from. And not to have access to that is detrimental to the soul. And that's the power of God unto salvation is the gospel of Christ, Romans 1, 16. So we've got to have the word of God. And even when Paul was in prison and he's writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and he's like, you know what, if you get a chance to come to me, I want you to bring me my cloak, and I want you to bring the books and the parchments. And he goes on to talk about how I'm about to lose my life. And while no one else is standing with me, the Lord stood with me. But what did he want? All right, when he's about to lose his life, yeah, he wanted his cloak, but he wanted his books and his parchments. That tells me he wanted that written word, the word that he had from the Old Testament scriptures, letters that he had written. He wanted those copies. It shows us, I think, the power of the gospel of Christ and why we need it. And I definitely struggle with that. And I still do because, yeah, there's applications, right? You can grab your phone. You have your Bible on your phone. But what happens when there's an update, right? Very often, I don't know of any app that hasn't gone through this at least once, that you lose accessibility. And all of a sudden, we lose that. And so I've done what I could to build a memory bank in my mind of the scriptures and be able to know where things are, and you know, which takes time, right? It takes time, and you have to get in the scriptures to do that. But that has probably been one of the best things I've ever done.
I'm glad you shared that, because I think for me, it was something I had to get to, because I'll be honest with the listeners here, the Perseverance Podcast is a way for me to continue to grow in my own life. And I didn't get to this point overnight. Like you said, it takes work. Mm-hmm. And it takes dedication to be willing to work on your relationship with Christ. And I truly, as a visually impaired individual, I want my Jesus so bad, I'm going to figure it out. But it took a while. And it took me some dark days to get there. So, Chris, if people want to listen to your podcast, where do they find your podcast? And also, tell them about your brand new website.
The podcast is Blind Grilling Experience, and we are on all the main and major podcast apps, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon, Spotify, iHeartRadio, all of those. If you've got a podcast catcher, it should find Blind Grilling Experience. And yeah, we just launched the website, blindgrilling.com. We're posting recipes and links to our YouTube. Our podcasts are posted on YouTube. There's lots of videos on our YouTube channel as well, which is youtube.com/blindgrilling. And there's all kinds of cooks and recipes, and we're working on building that and growing that as well.
Well, Chris, it has been an awesome experience. I really want to thank you for being on the Perseverance Podcast.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it, and good to be with you.
Here comes the Perseverance Corner. So today's verse is Romans 5:3-4, my favorite verse. Rejoice in your suffering with perseverance, knowing that perseverance builds character. The character will have hope in Christ. Meaning that every time you suffer in life, it's another opportunity to find a little bit of joy. My life isn't easy, either is yours. But together, we will live beyond this challenge. Do you feel like today's world, we're kind of losing hope? I got something to encourage you with today. And that is, you are somebody special. You are part of God's plan. And if you've given your life to Him, everything gonna be okay. This Perseverance Corner, on this day, you don't have to give up your hope in Christ. Because when you ask Him for a little bit of joy, He will pick up your foot and give you a little bit of joy and not a little bit of perseverance to move forward. Every day you get up, it's going to be a new day. Every day you stand up and start moving past the challenge that you're facing today, the challenge of the news, the challenge of culture, the challenge of politics, the challenge of your health. All those challenges, God has a plan for you. I was on a radio show just recently, and it was a political talk show, and I didn't really talk much because I don't really tend to get into the politics. But one thing that kept coming to mind, if we are to get through some of these hard times in our lives, we're going to need to find joy in saving souls rather than saving the world. Because every human being is a plan of God's. Every human being was molded by God. When we can keep our eyes on that prize, it makes everything else so much easier and so much more clear of what our mission is to get accomplished on this earth. I want to encourage you today, don't give up and ask God to give you a little bit of joy. That's the Perseverance Corner, and here comes the announcements. I have to say, there's been a lot going on in my life with the Deafblind Potter, Seamy Kane, Perseverance Podcast. And today, we're going to kind of go through a lot of announcements really quickly here. And again, you're going to need to go to different platforms to get all the details of every single thing that I'm going to be talking about today. So first thing is every Monday at 5 o'clock Mountain Standard Time, I have my own radio show, the Deafblind Potter Show. It is a mix of the Perseverance Podcast, a part of my story, a mix of Seamy Kane with a understanding how do we take the political environment that we're in today and apply it with Christ. So I don't really get in a ton of politics. Yes, I will address the kind of the basic news of the day, like the stuff happening in Israel, the stuff happening in Capitol Hill and general things like that. But I will be having you focus on the souls, the people that are struggling, the people that need prayer, the people that need hope. That is going to be my focus on this show. Yes, with my deafblindness, I can see. With my challenges, I can give you hope. And with my talent that God has given me, I can give you joy through the Holy Spirit. And by the time this comes out, I have already done my first 4 episodes, and you can find all of those shows on the deafblindpottershow.com. Link will be down in the bottom description, and we'll be live streaming, and it's super exciting. And also, we are looking for sponsors for the Deafblind Potter Show. If you have a product that you want to get promoted on the Deafblind Potter Show, you're more than welcome to give me an email at contact@deafblindpotter.com. So that way, if you are interested in having your business promoted, I'm more than happy to do that. So next, Seamy Kane. We secretly have cracked the code to a folding cane. Yep, you heard me. And I can't wait for us to get there, and I can't wait. The other thing with the Seamy Kane, I just did a White Cane Awareness Day event in Colorado, and it was an amazing success. There was a lady named Deborah, and she was at the event where I threw on a potter wheel, told my story. Spencer Renfro told his story, and also Eliza Joe told her story and sang some songs for us. And what was amazing is that this lady named Deborah, at the end of the show, took a Seamy Kane. She had retinitis pigmentosa and went out to the street and started trying out the Seamy Kane. And the next thing you know, she's coming back in tears. She's like, "You're giving me hope. I never thought I would ever be able to go back out to the public at night and not have to worry about getting hit by a car." it was a moment like, wow, this is why I make these canes. This is why I work so hard to make it possible for somebody like her to have a hope. So if you would like to donate to the See Me Cane, we are in the process of starting a nonprofit. It's called the Living Beyond the Label Foundation. And so if you would like to do a donation to it, you can write a check out to Living Beyond the Label Foundation, and you can mail it to 6317 Mount Acre Way, San Diego, California, 92111. And that will get the check in the right hand, and you'll be able to get the tax deduction as well. And if you don't need the tax deduction, that actually helps us right now, because we're still in the process of getting approval for the tax deduction. So if you don't need it, we can easily deposit it. But if you do, we'll hold on to it in a special account, and then we'll run it fully for you for tax deductions. So it's amazing what God is doing in this. It's amazing the doors that are opening up, and it's amazing how God is continuing to work through this. So the other thing about See Me Cane is that we're getting ready to work on a longer battery life, and we'll probably get that done in the next couple of weeks here, and then hopefully have a final version ready to start manufacturing probably before March of next year. So lastly, I want to encourage you to get your Deafline Potter pieces, because we all know what those pieces go to. They go to make more See Me Canes. So those are all my announcements right now, and it's quite amazing what God is doing. And I want you to be in prayer going into the end of this year that God gives me wisdom, and especially God will put somebody in my life that can help me run the business, because right now things are falling through the cracks because there's so many different things happening. But God doesn't open up doors if he doesn't think you can handle it. And I feel like God is opening up doors for me, but I'm just praying, God, bring that person that's supposed to help me run the See Me Cane, and that can allow me to continue to provide the encouragement for you and all those around the world, so that way we all continue to live beyond our challenges. And note, remember, I am not doing the Perseverance Through the Bible anymore, so that won't be coming out. So like I always say, every time I wrap up any show, any video, or any Persevering podcast, go live beyond your challenges, and I'll see you on the Persevering podcast in 4 weeks. Now you're ready to persevere for your challenges today. Thank you for joining me on the Persevering podcast. If you'd like to get a hold of me, you can email me at Kelvin@PerseverancePodcast.com. You can also follow me on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Deafblind Potter. If you'd like to buy some merch or some Deafblind Potter pieces, you can go to DeafblindPotter.com. Please give us a 5-star rating and subscribe to the Persevering Podcast so you don't miss an episode. That way, you and I can continue living beyond our challenges and persevering through them too.